My stomach feels pretty bad right now. Could it be all the beer I drank and then the lack of sleep I got last night? No one will ever know.
All right, this episode's going to be amazing. You ready?
It's going to be great.
Howdy, it's Friday, October 3rd, 2025, and this is episode 263 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Playing 11:30 hockey games on weeknights and then waking up and taking the kids to school. I feel great for a podcast, let's just say that.
Yeah?
I'm at the top of my game. I'm physically and mentally all here for you, the listener.
As always.
Peak condition.
I mean, we wouldn't record the podcast if we weren't in peak condition. That would just be doing a disservice to our listeners.
Right.
So.
I think anybody who's listened to the last two episodes can tell that we're absolutely at the top of our podcasting game.
I mean, I would certainly never roll into a recording having not even opened the agenda. So,
yes. With that in mind, let's see what the agenda has in store for us.
It has a would you rather that is not on the agenda, but I think you've got something in secret, so I'm ready to hear it.
Okay, would you rather, inspired by...
Like, go to Atlantic City in 2 weeks or not? Because I would rather go.
Eh, debatable for would you rather on that. So, inspired by the current baseball playoffs, because I know most people think of, you know, the NCAA tournament or like NFL playoffs as like a time that they want to be in Vegas or Atlantic City at the sportsbook all day.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it would be really fun to go watch baseball all day.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I know at least one other person who shares this opinion.
Is it Paul?
Yeah. So we've both been following all the wildcard games, like 10 hours of baseball a day.
I have no idea even who's in the playoffs, so this will be a good discussion, but go ahead.
So the would you rather has nothing to do with that. So great segue.
It should just be a trivia about who's in the playoffs, who's won. It'd be perfect.
So inspired by the idea that I would like to go sit all day in the sports book and watch baseball, would you rather be in AC and spend like 6 straight hours in the sports book watching sports?
Sit at home. No.
Or spend 6 straight hours in the poker room playing poker.
Oh, poker. Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, I would definitely go sports.
Yeah.
Not poker.
What sports are we talking about? Baseball, no way.
It can be football, so it can be a regular football Sunday.
I don't want to watch sports in the sport. Like, if it's sports I want to watch, I don't want to watch it in the sports book. And if it's sports I don't want to watch, I just don't want to watch it. So there's probably some sweet spot of sports that are mildly interesting, but I don't really care about. That's the sweet spot for this question. And still, I'd rather be doing anything else than sitting in the sports book. I don't play poker a whole lot because I find there's better things for me to do with my time in AC, but yeah, I'd much rather play poker than sit in the sports book and watch, you know, some random NBA games or something.
Yeah, that's my thing about the poker room is I would always just rather be doing something else in Atlantic City. And so I say like sports very easily because I do like sitting at the sports book, but do I really want to sit through a whole day of NCAA tournament games or 3 baseball games? I don't know. In my head, I say yes. But even when we were there for that USA-Netherlands World Cup soccer game, a game that I really wanted to watch.
You were there, not me, because I had to leave at like 8 a.m. that morning and missed the whole game. It was great.
It wasn't a good game. But
no, it wasn't a good game.
Even with that, I was in AC and I was like, I could go watch this game at a nice sports book, or I could play slots for 45 minutes and then just go watch the second half. And then I think I started to watch the second half, and like 20 minutes into the second half,
you're like, this is not a good game.
There's slots over there that I could be playing.
I mean, also, it was a bad game. So,
but I was also solo. I think having a group helps. Like, if you're there with a group and everybody in the group is like, I just want to watch an NCAA tournament. Are you into that at all, or do you not want to do that?
The real sweet spot for me is if, let's say, the Ravens weren't playing, but people wanted to watch the 1 and 4 o'clock games in the sports book for football, right? Because I do like football. It's by far my favorite sport out of all the major American sports. That's just a lot of sitting in the sports book, though. Like, I just wouldn't do that.
Right. So ignoring the would you rather part. Mm-hmm. Because we're pretty both clear in our sides of the would you rather, which is a sign that it's not a great would you rather for podcast content. Say you've got a group and everybody's hanging out to watch some sports event. you can always just pop out for 15 minutes, right? Like, you are for an hour. You can always just be like, oh, I'm going to go
play some blackjack.
Play some blackjack, right? Or I'm going to play some slots for a little bit. Anybody want to join? And then you can come back and watch more sports. I guess if it's a really, really popular event and you need to hold the table, that's not really true.
I mean, I guess let's say it's November and they have some random Ravens game that I don't really care about, and then followed by like some random Terps game, like basketball, that I don't really care about. Yeah, maybe I could sit through both of those in the sports book because it's the right amount of caring. Like, I don't really care about them that much that I feel like I need to watch them in like a quieter, more secluded place. It's possible.
So say the Ravens don't make the playoffs, which is where they're headed.
Yeah, let's see. We don't have to say that. We don't have to imagine that.
And wild card weekend rolls around, and somebody in the group sends an email like, hey, let's all go to AC and hang out at the sportsbook at Borgata or Ocean.
I mean, I would say that's fine, but I wouldn't hang out at the sportsbook.
But it's like, oh, we have to have number for the table. Like, we need to have everyone there.
I mean, that's fine. I would pay whatever, the $20 that I need to get in, and then still not just sit at the table all the time. Yeah.
Ignoring the requirement that you even have to be there, would you be psyched for that? Or would you be like, I'd rather just be at home watching these games?
I like going to AC, so I would be happy to do it. There was a time in my life, certainly in middle school and high school especially, where my default state was just watching whatever was on ESPN or ESPN2 or whatever, right? Like,
sure.
I just sat down and I would watch sports for 10 hours a day if it was a weekend and I didn't have anything to do. And like, that was how I spent my day. But that's just not my life anymore.
Yeah. No more sports for us.
Yeah, not really. I mean, the number of live sporting events that I watch that aren't the Ravens or the Terps or F1, I guess, it's very, very low.
I'm pretty much always following it, but I would not say that I'm actively... I watch a lot of Orioles games. I guess I watch a lot of Capitals games.
You watch the Capitals.
And I watch Leeds United, so that's a lot.
You know, F1's every weekend, so it's a decent bet. And then the Ravens have started again, though, you know, we'll see how much I really want to watch every game this season.
Yeah. I watched the first Ravens game against the Bills and then decided I shouldn't watch.
That was a mistake.
Right, because then I was angry about it. And I was like, if I just saw the score on my phone, I wouldn't be angry. I'd be like, they lost to the Bills. The Bills are good. It's fine.
Yeah.
But no, watching how it unfolded was terrible.
Yep. All right, have I answered kind of every part of the question you were interested in? Or
let me see how many iterations I can crank.
All right, go ahead.
I'm kidding. So there's big news. Huge news that will shock anyone who's been following Atlantic City for the past 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Which is that the highly, I wouldn't even say highly publicized, but certainly a hot topic of conversation on all the social medias, the outdoor gym at the Showboat has been officially canceled. So it was delayed and delayed and delayed, and now it's just done. Wayne Perry of Associated Press posted in the Everything Atlantic City Facebook groups, which is not to be confused with the Everything AC Casinos Facebook group, that outdoor gym at Atlantic City's Showboat will not be happening. Blatstein's company says it has exciting, in quotes, plans for the site for next year, which it won't yet reveal. How do you feel about that, Kyle?
Probably the same way I feel about the ropes course, or like, you know, the long line of things that, as far as I could tell, were like fully planned out. Everything was bought for it and just torn down before anyone got a chance to use it.
It is wild how everything was installed.
Yeah, both for the gym and the ropes course were 100% done.
Sitting there for months. It does make me wonder, is this just a Bart Blatstein, Glenn Straub, Atlantic City weirdness thing? Or does this happen in developments all the time? Like, is there a bunch of stuff at like Disney World that they started to plan out, and then they were like, this isn't actually any good. Let's get rid of it.
I think it's Atlantic City.
I bet there's stuff in Vegas, too. I think there's a casino-related thing here. Like, I mean, Vegas building an entire hotel tower that can't be used. Although that's like a structural, structural thing.
Didn't pass the earthquake test, man. They tore that down finally like 5 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All I'm saying is, Atlantic City doesn't have a monopoly on embarrassment, as much as it seems like it does sometimes. Showboat, though, is trying to corner the market.
And Revel before that, I think.
Yeah.
Glenn Straub, Revel.
Remember going to Revel and there were more dealers there than players?
I do.
We did actually get a report that somebody went to Bally's midweek and there were literally no players there. So there were significantly more dealers than players.
That's good.
That was C-Note Vegas on the Twitter, tweeted about his Bally's Atlantic City experience.
you know, not to jump ahead, but they weren't in last place in the...
Ooh, we've teased the data. That's like everybody's waiting for the data, but...
End of the episode.
You gotta wait.
Yeah, it is just mind-boggling. Just this seems to happen all the time in Atlantic City, where the gym was there. I saw it with my eyes. All the equipment was there. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, probably. That probably was rented.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they laid down 4 sport court. I don't know if it's officially sport court. I think that's a brand name. Of court for basketball courts. And then they were just like, ah, we're done.
That's crazy.
Do you trust at all that they actually have, quote unquote, exciting plans for the site next year?
No, I don't think they have any plans.
Yeah, I don't think they have any idea. And you know what? Prove me wrong, Bart Blatstein. Send an email to doforawin@gmail.com with what the plans are.
Or send Craig Lucky Snake gift cards.
I can also be bought with Lucky Snake gift cards. That is true.
I mean, it's happened before.
Yeah. It's all you need for a good review. I'll rave about the gym. One last thing I'll say about this gym. I mean, you talk about having everything up. It was so close to done that we recorded an episode like 3 days before the opening date.
Uh-huh.
We posted the episode titled, "There's an Outdoor Gym in Atlantic City Now." The best title I think we've ever had in an episode. And it was not true. That's how close it was. It didn't actually open. And then now it's just gone. It never opened. It never even got to that point. So they've made liars out of us. I think you specifically.
I'm personally affronted.
Yeah. We should sue.
Bart Blatstein will never make up. Unless he gives me more of those ace comps. That's really what I want.
Oh, yeah. Ace. They redid the ace. It looks nicer than it did before, which is a low bar to clear, but
it was very, very low.
I don't know if the food's any better than it used to be.
I have nothing else to say about Showboat.
What do you have to say about the site of the former Trump Plaza, aka the Do for a Win World headquarters, being for sale?
Yeah, so I guess it sounds like, according to NJ1015.com, that, yeah, the site of the Trump Plaza is back up for sale. No asking price has been provided. This is the site's second listing in recent years, with another brokerage firm previously offering it in 2023. According to the listing agents, the property includes a remaining tower, aka the Holiday Inn, and its adjacent parking garage with 2,658 spaces.
Yeah, so I say the Do for a Win World headquarters, but...
it's been torn down. Only the Holiday Inn is left.
Only the Holiday Inn is left. And as you know, if you've stared at our logo longingly enough, the Do for a Win, DFAW, is on the tower that is gone, which is very sad.
Indeed.
How much are we offering for this thing? There's no asking price. We can put in any offer. $1?
I could round up like a couple hundred K, I think.
Should we Patreon it? Should we put in a...
We should.
You don't actually need the money to buy it, right? Don't you just leverage the shit out of it?
Yeah.
And it's like you'd then owe some hedge fund a bunch of money.
I think we have the long track record that any bank would be foolish not to take our business and partner with us on a project like this.
I mean, in true form, the correct thing to do that would be accurate for the history of the property would be funding it with junk bonds, right? So clearly some bank will allow us to... run a junk bond sale.
Yeah, I think so.
We have done 262 episodes. If that's not a track record,
yeah,
worthy of some sort of credit from the bank with zero revenue to its name. That's not actually entirely true.
We've made revenue. We've sold
made
shirts.
Revenue. We've certainly have no profit.
Certainly the profits are negative, but
yeah.
I mean, plenty of startups have negative profits. That's not a problem.
Do you have any hope at all that the site of the former Trump Plaza will become anything?
Sure,
in the
eventually.
Next 5 years.
No, I don't think so.
It's dead center in the boardwalk. It's right by all the outlets. It's right by Boardwalk Hall. It should be pretty prime real estate.
Rainforest Cafe is already there. What more can you ask for?
That's true. It is very prime real estate, but I say that, and also that Toll Brothers little shopping area is right there. And the fact that that has not even gotten any tenants.
Never.
Maybe it's not as prime real estate as we think it is.
Incredible. All right. So we have some New York casino updates. Why don't you run through them?
Okay. So there was a whole slew of updates about New York casinos because they're going through the whole approval process. And it was always assumed that there would be a Manhattan casino, except all of the community committees have rejected every single Manhattan casino proposal. So at one point, there were 5 of them. 2 of them were dropped by the developer. The Saks Fifth Avenue proposed casino on the top 3 floors of Saks Fifth Avenue. And then a Wynn partnered casino in Hudson Yards West. They also dropped their proposal before it even got to this point. The three that were rejected by the city were the Avenir near Hudson Yards, which was proposed by something called Greenwood Gaming and Entertainment, who owns Parks in Pennsylvania, in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Freedom Plaza, which is supposed to be a Mohegan-branded project in Midtown East near the UN, if you know New York City. And then Caesar's Palace Times Square has been rejected. And I don't know about you, but I always just assumed that that was going to happen.
Yeah, I can't believe that Times Square is already like this crazy, all-tourist kind of shithole, right? Why would they reject that?
Right. I have no idea.
It's not going to make it worse. It's just going to be the same.
It's very strange to me that they rejected it. It seemed like such an obvious... I mean, it would absolutely rake money.
Surely, if there's anywhere in the world that deserves a casino, it's Times Square, right?
Can you imagine what the table limits would be there on a Saturday night?
That would be absolutely insane.
Just absurd. I can't even imagine. It would be like Monaco.
What's the excuse? It's like, oh, it's out of character for the neighborhood. We don't
right,
want
yeah.
this here.
Like, what are you like, protecting? What the hell? The Olive Garden? Like, I don't understand. But yeah, rejected.
Yeah.
So that leaves a few projects in outer boroughs and then the rest of the state. So the ones that have advanced now are Empire City and Resorts World, which are both racinos. Empire City's in Yonkers. Resorts World is in Queens, over by JFK. And then Bally's in the Bronx, which is apparently some golf course in the Bronx, has also advanced. And then there's a Coney Island proposal still in the works, which seemed dead. There was like so much resistance to it. And then all of a sudden it's been resurrected. It has been rejected. So after all that, I think Bronx was approved. Coney Island got rejected. So my question for you, bringing this all back to Atlantic City, is, you know, the New York City casinos have long been seen as this looming thing that's going to crush Atlantic City. Is the fact that none of the Manhattan casinos have been approved, is that a win for Atlantic City?
I don't know. Do you think it really matters?
How do you mean?
Are there people who live in New York that would be like, I would go to a Manhattan casino, but because there is none, I'm going to go to Atlantic City instead of going to Queens or something?
Yes.
Like, I don't. You think so?
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You understand New York better than I do, but that seems a little bit ridiculous to me.
If I could take the bus that I take to work to go to a casino, not me, but like an average person who lives around me, mm-hmm. I can drive 2 hours to Atlantic City, or I can just hop on the bus and be in Midtown and go to Hudson Yards or Times Square and go to a casino. I think you would spend less of your gambling dollars in Atlantic City.
I understand that you always talk about like going across the East River is some impossible journey or whatever, but if there's one in the Bronx, is that really that much farther?
Yes. Than... Oh, my goodness. I drove to a Yankees game last season, and I was like, I'm never doing this again. Mm. Never.
I hear they have public transit.
I mean, I would have had to drive to a park and ride and take public transit. So
yeah. Sure. Yeah, you are farther away now than when you were in Hoboken, I suppose.
Right. I think the Empire City and Resorts World, the two racinos, we're always going to get licenses. But I also don't think they change too much for Atlantic City because they've been casinos, even if they're not full-on casinos. So I think whatever damage they were going to do is mostly already done. I don't know. I don't know about this Bronx thing. I'm probably being naive, but I don't think this is going to be like a huge drain on Atlantic City's revenue. But I also, you know, there's never been a situation where a state was like, hey, we're giving out 5 casino licenses. And then that was it. And they never gave out more casino licenses, right? Like, has that ever happened?
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
I just can't imagine that a Manhattan
still to
casino,
this day, New Jersey will not give out casino licenses outside of Atlantic City, right? Even though there have been fights about it, so.
Right, but I mean, it's not like there's some limit to the number of casinos that can be there.
Yeah, I mean, there was like limits too. You had to have at least 500 rooms or whatever the rules
right,
were. But
sure.
Yeah, sure.
But I can't imagine New York as a state. Oh, now we've allowed these casinos. This is it. We'll never allow a Manhattan casino. I think there will be a Manhattan casino eventually.
Once you start collecting that sweet, sweet tax money, you always want more.
And I do think that the dominoes that fall there, and I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said 1,000 times before, is that once you have a casino somewhere that's like very easy for New Jersey commuters to get to, all of a sudden you get a casino at Meadowlands or in Jersey City or something where... It's really easy for Jersey commuters to get there, and then that is where you start to hurt Atlantic City. New Jersey as a state will protect its revenue, even if it means hurting Atlantic City. But gotta hold out for as long as we can.
it's fine. We'll probably still be suckers going to Atlantic City.
We will.
When, you know, we'll be passing 50 casinos on the way there.
We'll be passing 50 casinos. There will only be 2 casinos left in Atlantic City.
Right.
Borgata and Golden Nugget.
Yeah. Gotta have that wet dog smell.
Yeah. It's like Golden Nugget's just surviving on online revenue.
And right.
Every other casino has closed. And against all odds, Golden Nugget's still there. There's no casinos on the boardwalk somehow. This is our dystopian future.
Incredible. Well, I'm excited to see it in 20 years. All right, we have some mailbag.
We do.
This is too long. I can't read it. Do you have to do it, or you can summarize?
I think it was last episode that we talked about charter flights.
Yeah, last couple episodes, I think.
So we got an email from Steve K., who said, I have taken 3 MGM Air charters in the last year from Dulles, Virginia to Borgata. They were all direct flights, about 30 minutes, and the cost has always been $60 round trip for 2 people. That includes flights, bags, transportation to and from Borgata, 3 nights in a classic room, and $60 of free play. He said he lives in Sterling, Virginia, which is about a 4.5-hour drive, so the door-to-door time with the charter is 3.5 hours. There's no tolls, no gas, no wear and tear on the car. Plus, the $60 free play covers the $60 Borgata charge for the charter. He does say the only real drawback with the charter is not having a car in Atlantic City, so he takes Uber to and from the boardwalk. He also said that he could see where some people think it's a negative to not have your car and not be able to just leave Atlantic City whenever you want, like if you're running out of gambling funds, but clearly he finds it worth it. He said he's platinum with MGM, and he's not sure if the same charter offers go to other levels. And he also gets offers to Biloxi, but it's never taken them up on it. Have you ever gotten the MGM charter offer out of Dulles?
No, I get offers to Biloxi all the time from MGM. I don't think I've ever gotten a Borgata offer.
Are they out of Dulles?
Maybe. Half my charters out of, like, Richmond or something weird. I have gotten some BWI charters, but I don't think for the Biloxi trip.
I recently got an email from Caesars Air to go to Reno, Tahoe.
There you go.
And I was like, awesome. And then I loaded it up, and the airport that was selected by default was Mobile, Alabama.
Good.
I don't really understand why that was the selected airport.
It is closer than Reno, Tahoe.
It is.
So.
I don't think it was even, like, alphabetically the first.
Maybe by state.
Yeah, but I tried to change it to a couple other things, and it just said nothing available from those other airports. So
incredible.
Like, why even send me that email is what I wanted. Like, I'm not
I don't know.
Doing that. I don't know.
So just commenting on Steve's email, I mean, I think a couple things. First, I think we've said it before on the podcast, but quick tip, if you ever see like an Uber or something and it's more than $15 in Atlantic City, just take a taxi because I think the max is, what, 13
or
something
13,
for a
yeah.
taxi? Yeah, so just reminded me of that. Like I said, I think we've talked about it in the past, but I mean, we apparently get new listeners all the time.
Yeah.
So definitely look into taxis for long car trips in Atlantic City.
I will also say I can't remember the last time I have ever taken a taxi in Atlantic City and it has not cost the maximum.
Yeah, definitely use Uber maybe for short trips. But
part of that's that we self-select into, like, we walk anywhere that would be a shorter cab
right.
ride than what would hit the maximum. So
certainly if you're going to, like, Borgata to Knife and Fork or something, take a taxi. It'll be much cheaper.
But I would probably, even if you don't want to do the walk from, like, Tropicana to Ocean, you're probably still better off taking a taxi. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I don't also take Ubers in Atlantic City basically ever, so you do it much more often than me, so you know what the going rate is a bit more than I do.
Yeah, I've been doing taxis more often just because they're typically there, right, when you walk out of the casino. So, like, why am I going to call and sit around and wait for an Uber when I can just walk outside and hop in a taxi that I know is capped at a certain rate? Like, even if it ends up being $2 more, like, rather not wait for 5 minutes.
I've ridden in plenty of Ubers with you, but the only time I ever called an Uber in Atlantic City was like 5 years ago, and it was like illegal.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
The guy picked me up, and like a cop started tailing him, and he was freaking out.
Didn't he let us out somewhere weird, too?
Yeah, I think he let us out in like a really weird place, so like he wouldn't get in trouble. But I don't know if they've changed the law, and Uber's actually legal again in Atlantic City or what, but it was an interesting trip.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, because now all the casinos advertise where to do the ride.
Sure. Yeah. But yeah, that dude was definitely freaking out.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. Imagine being an Uber driver, but knowing that that could happen at any... Like, why would you choose to do that? It's just insane. Yeah.
You need money, I guess.
Yeah.
I do say it would be a bit annoying to be kind of on their schedule. I mean, it would probably be fine because you can sit in the room and do stuff if you don't want to gamble or whatever. So it's not the end of the world, but I enjoy the freedom that having a car has. But I wouldn't be against doing something like that if I was a little bit farther away from Atlantic City.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely one of the – when I switched from taking the bus all the time to driving, I think the first or second time I drove, just realizing that you have that freedom to leave whenever, right? And maybe that means the freedom to stay an extra hour, but typically it means I woke up, I ate breakfast, I don't really want to gamble anymore. I wish I could just hop in the car and be home faster rather than be waiting around for the next bus. I can see where that's a big benefit. So we also got some emails from, well, we got one email with a bunch of questions from Pat G, which we won't even get to all of them, but I think a couple of them are sort of relevant time-wise.
Okay.
Do you want to start with the Blackhawk?
Sure. Well, you get your voice back.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
So Pat said, thank you for the Blackhawk hiking points before my trip. I went to one of Kyle's formal spots, St. Mary's Glacier. I also went again this trip because it is a really easy hike to do with the family. He said he was so glad that he did. The lake was neat, and up above beyond there, he got to his highest point on the trip, 11,773 feet. Yeah, I think the lake is probably around, I don't know, 10,500, 10,800, something like that. But there is definitely the mountain/glacier behind the lake if you want to keep going up. It's very pretty, too. So Pat says, I went to Blackhawk solo, but we'll bring my wife next time. She's into walking, not hiking, but the state park 15 minutes from Blackhawk, technically in Golden, has all different ability trails. So just on that, we also did one of the trails between Blackhawk and Golden right along the river that Route 6, I think it is, or 60, or whatever the road is between Denver and Blackhawk goes by. So Pat says he did 3 nights, Thursday to Sunday, and it was the right amount of time. I liked having the extra day for the altitude. I stopped in Golden on the way to Blackhawk, the city of Brewpumsey, and worth a brief visit on the way to and from Blackhawk. Yeah, I've never stopped in Golden, but certainly the Coors Factory is very, very big, and it seems like there are some smaller brew pubs around the area, too. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast. I was talking to people out in Blackhawk about it, but the altitude for me, it is definitely something like the first day I feel the altitude 100%. It's definitely like you have a mild headache the whole time. Your sleep is crap, or at least it is for me. I mean, I was talking to Thomas in Blackhawk and he said it's totally fine for him. He doesn't notice the altitude at all, but definitely your mileage may vary on that. I don't know. Any Blackhawk thoughts before I move on, Craig?
Last episode, I was sort of trying to figure out if there was somewhere I'd rather go than Blackhawk.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we happened to be talking about Blackhawk, and that was the only thing I could think of. And really, like, Blackhawk sounds great. Like, everything about it, you know, the brew pubs. So I'll stick with that. I think it's
all right.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I did not see Pat there. I mean, I was at a bunch of the meetups on Friday when he wasn't there, but I know he showed up in the Do for a Win shirt on Thursday because I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
So Pat continues on with kind of comments about being in Vegas with quids. He says, we leveraged Vegas in and out for a family trip a few years ago during the NJ Teachers Convention weekend. We flew in, rented a car, spent a night there, and then hit the road to Zion National Park the next day. We were in Zion 2 nights, going to Bryce Canyon 1 day, longest drive, but beautiful and must do, and then drove back to Vegas Sunday and visited a bit before flying home. So that's one way to get to Vegas without making it a family Vegas trip. And the national parks all have different ability levels. They're very easy hikes, the medium, hard, etc. And you mentioned I was on that chat as well, that your brother said he wanted to do a very similar kind of trip to the Utah State Parks with the family. So that was a way he was thinking of maybe getting a night in Vegas with the family.
My family is not into all this outdoorsy stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just not going to happen for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it happening for us. We went to Phoenix last winter or 2 winters ago and did a big hike at South Mountain in Phoenix, for those of you who know the area. Yeah, I think everyone enjoyed it, so I could see us doing something like that as well. And I think people liked the general kind of desert atmosphere of Phoenix, which is obviously very similar to Vegas.
With less casinos.
With less casinos. I mean, there are plenty of casinos in Phoenix, but...
But less.
No, they are less, and they're not all together. They're just, you know, around at the Indian tribes.
So we had an email last episode about $10 craps and where to find it, or if there would be any $10 craps at Harrah's, and we mentioned, or we suggested checking out Golden Nugget. Pat G emailed saying that on weekend days, and I'm assuming he means like daytime during the weekend, you can find $10 craps at resorts, but it would be a schlep from Harrah's. Obviously, the listener who emailed is staying at Harrah's. Keith R. responded to the Facebook post about the episode saying that Golden Nuggets craps is actually usually $15 and $25 on the weekend, including Sundays, and they only have one table open during the week. And not until the afternoon. So that all sounds very Golden Nugget. So our suggestion of going to Golden Nugget for $10 craps, maybe not. Maybe don't take that suggestion.
Yeah, I think that actually sounds right from last time I was there. So that is believable, and I probably should have remembered that. I do think it was only half the table was open of the one table, and I believe it was maybe 15, but I'm not 100%.
It really makes you realize, like, Borgata almost always has $15 craps.
Yeah, yeah, basically. I mean, maybe not on, like, Saturday night, but...
How is Golden Nugget not undercutting them with cheaper craps. I just don't understand it.
Because to undercut them, you need to have employees.
That's a good point.
Right. Yeah, that costs money. So,
any other thoughts on these emails? We have more email questions, but I'll save them.
Yeah, we can save them for next time when we will surely not be talking about an upcoming AC trip, so we'll have the need to fill plenty of time.
Right.
All right, so we have August revenue data, which I have put in because I'm an excellent worker on the podcast.
Yes, you are.
So,
employee of the month.
Indeed, truly. Who does more for the podcast than me? No one. Big month. $311 million.
Seems high.
Yeah, I don't. When's the last $300 million month that we had in Atlantic City? Before the pandemic, it looks like. Not 2019. Not 2018. Oh, my. So there's a 297 and a 298 in 2013. Yeah, 308, the first July that we tracked. 2012.
313 in August of 2012.
2012, last time there was a $300 million month in Atlantic City.
So that's crazy.
Take that to the haters.
Yeah. Atlantic City is booming. If I've learned anything from what YouTube suggests for me, it's that Vegas is dying.
Right. But Atlantic City is booming.
But you've heard it here first. Atlantic City is booming.
So every casino, except for Bally's and Golden Nugget, who
are sad.
Usually the whipping boys of Atlantic City are up year over year.
Yeah.
And every casino's up month over month, except for resorts. Some of them up more than others. Ocean up 16%, which is a lot.
Over 50 million for Ocean.
Yeah.
Have they done that before? That's a big number.
It's a big one.
Not as big as 80.2 million for Borgata, which is just absolutely nuts.
That's a monster month for sure. That's also, they had an $80 million month in 2019, but I don't think that's happened since before the pandemic.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's good. I checked. I think this August was 5 weekends, but I think last August also was, so not huge. So it's up 6% overall year over year. I think a bunch of casinos, like the Caesars casinos in Pacific, seem like they had very good luck in August. I don't know. It's just a strong month. Strong month overall. I don't have too much else to say about it. Anything jump out to you looking at it now for the first time?
The $80 million for Borgata is just jaw-dropping. I mean, it's such a huge number, even though they're very, very, very close in July, 79.9. I mean, in a way, the fact that August was only 300,000 more than July is almost a little bit surprising in the other direction, but they're just doing really, really well. Caesars being up 31.8% is pretty clearly luck-based, right? Like,
yes.
And Harrah's is up 30% too. Like, these are just wildly huge numbers.
Yeah, all three Caesars casinos were quite lucky.
Those are month-over-month numbers, by the way. 31.8 month-over-month, 29.7 month-over-month. It's much more modest year-over-year. They've just rigged all their games, I think, is the only takeaway.
Do for a win does not recommend playing gambling at Caesar's properties.
They turned the little dial on all the slots to make them tighter.
I think it was the table games, actually. So they've turned the dial on the automatic shuffler to make sure they won.
This is all sarcasm, by the way, in case anybody is looking to sue us.
At plenty of blackjack table where the dude's like, you know you can't win with the automatic shuffler, right?
I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's maybe.
You can't win.
Oh, no. They make sure you don't win. It's like, okay.
The automatic shuffler basically makes it a slot machine. You might as well be playing, as you used to call it, big titty craps on big boob blackjack. Was that what you called it? the electronic machines.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I like the craps name you came up with first. So.
I might have to cut that one out. But oh man, get some sleep, Craig. Get some sleep.
Don't play those games either. The big blue blackjack, they pay 6 to 5. Don't do that.
It's just wild that a machine pays 6 to 5, but we've
claimed. It's incredible that it's 6 to 5, right? Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, so up 6% year over year. It's another really good month. I mean, June was up 6%, July was up 4.3%. I know, I feel like I came into this summer feeling a little bit pessimistic about the summer because the months leading into it, Q1 was down. February and March were down. And so it seemed like that was the way it was trending. And then summer started and it was just like, just kidding. We're doing great.
Yeah.
Happy to be wrong.
Love to see it. And by all accounts, certainly the online stuff is going well too. So I think the casinos are making plenty of money.
So we'll wait for September, and then we can add up all that Q3 data and talk about how great Q3 was. Now September
Indeed.
Will be like a total disaster.
It'll be like, May 2020, $0.
the pandemic's going to happen.
Yeah. In September, yeah. We didn't hear about it.
Oh, yes. This would all be retroactive.
Yeah.
The government shutdown's going to...
The federal government's just going to come in and take all the money the casinos earns.
You said that they wanted to make profit before the episode started.
Anyway.
I know one way to make profit.
If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforwin. Find all of our great content at doforwin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforwin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions at doforwin@gmail.com, and we will answer some subset of them on air.
Yeah. Thanks for all the questions. It's helping.
Yeah.
Especially thanks for all the corrections, being like, you don't even know where the $10 crypts. No, everybody's very polite about it.
Yeah. No. That's good.
But it is helpful because, like, we're not there all the time taking stock of what table limits are.
And let me tell you, like, when I am there, I'm not super paying attention to that sort of stuff. So certainly if you were playing craps, I think you would be much more locked in on that than me. But
yeah, I would definitely be paying a lot of attention to the limits.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I just go and I bet the amount of money they tell me to bet. So
yeah.
I mean, within reason. You know, if it's a $25 table, I'm not playing that shit, but...
But 15 is totally fine.
15 is fine, yeah. 10 is much better than 15.
Am I making this up, or did there used to be 5 when I started going?
I mean, certainly. Wild Wild West, they always had 5. Always had a $5 table at Wild Wild West.
Oh, but that was very unique, and it was very hard to get on that table.
I feel like probably there was some 5. I feel like Atlanta Club had $5 of a lot of shit, right? Like, I certainly played $5 blackjack at Atlanta Club, I feel like.
$5 blackjack was not impossible to find when I started going.
Right.
But the best was $1 blackjack, which I know we've talked about on the show all the time.
With a quarter ante?
With a quarter ante.
At the Wild Wild West?
Making it basically like scratch-off level.
Yeah.
House edge.
I still remember we went with a ton of people, and a bunch of people were paying the $1 blackjack, so.
Well, you could pay $5, and then you didn't have the ante.
Uh-huh.
So the dealer was even like, do not play $1, like play $5. I know we've lamented this so many times, but like those tables under the elevated railroad track at Wild Wild West, that was such an enjoyable place to play.
What a great casino that was.
So disappointing that they've gutted that thing.
Too bad it's absolutely ruined.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. And, you know, surely we'll have big news about some huge meetup in Atlantic City in 2 weeks for our next episode.
Several listeners have said that they will be there October 18th weekend, surely in anticipation of my birthday.
Yeah. Just like us. Right, Craig?
Right.
All right.
We'll see if this is deleted or not when it goes.
All right. Thank you guys very much. Talk to y'all in a few weeks.
I mean, I got carded at Harrah's last time we were there. And then when did I just get carded? Surely it was to buy a beer, but where would I have been out somewhere buying a drink? I drink at home alone after everyone goes to bed. Where would I have been? This is going to bother me forever.
I don't know. Did you get a happy hour or some shit with your coworkers or something?
No. Oh, is it Dave and Buster's?
That's where you drink by yourself. Yeah, I gotcha.